You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
My next guest is a lady called Jean Sutton, and Jean is working with the Irish Women's Museum, which is something that I came across accidentally when I was looking for stuff online recently. But Jean joins me and we're going to talk about the museum and find out exactly what it is and a little bit about the history of it. Jean, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. So just about the Women's Museum of Ireland website, it's an online project where a group of volunteers, we spotlight women from Irish history abroad and at home, and we would have a few articles that we call exhibits, and it's got a vast array of people. You know, we've got Typhoid Mary Mallon on it, we've got Kate O'Brien, the Irish author, and a few others on it as well, and they're written by historians and people who are hobbyists. And we've also been working on the past few years, because it's volunteer run, it's hard to find this time when you're all working full time, of a map of Dublin that we want to put up kind of on a Google Maps of places that are important to women's history. You know, stuff to do with, you know, where women were based during the Rising and, you know, where famous authors were born, and just to have a kind of an online map. So we're hoping to get that done in the next while. Again, it's all piece by piece, volunteer led, but the idea for the museum website and stuff came from, I visited Vietnam years ago during the summer, and they had a women's museum out there that was quite emotional and very interesting. And it was like the first thing when you walked in, you saw like the faces of the mothers, of portraits of the mothers who lost sons in the Vietnam War, the American War, as they call it.
Right.
And they just like a lot of focus on the craft and the role of women in Vietnamese history. And I thought of that when I came back and I mentioned it to friends. My friends were interested in culture and heritage. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely project, and it's just something we work on in our spare time, and you learn loads from it.
Yeah. Did I hear you say, when you were mentioning some of the people that you have on, Typhoid Mary?
Oh, Typhoid Mary.
Tell me about Typhoid Mary, yeah.
Yeah, so probably relevant for nowadays. She was a woman who worked in domestic service, an Irish immigrant to America. She carried typhoid with her to various houses. She herself wasn't affected. She was a carrier.
Okay.
And she was kind of locked up because of it. Mm-hmm. And she did go out and work again. But you have to understand, like, she was trying to earn a living. She didn't understand really what was happening. She was kind of vilified. And she, like, ended her days quite sadly, like, always in quarantine and kind of an outcast from society. And, you know, Typhoid Mary put the blame on her. Mm. Really, it was a scientific thing that she couldn't really help. And there's actually a great novelization of her story by the Irish-American author Mary Beth Keane, who has connections, I think, to Lewisburg and Mayo. And she's written a few novels about the Irish diaspora that are really worth checking out. So Mary Beth Keane, which one of her first or second novel was called Fever, and it's about Mary Mallon. That's a really, really worth reading book. Mm. I would recommend it.
And where did Typhoid Mary come from? Mary Mallon, we should call her. Where did she come from in Ireland?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'll have to double check.
All right, that's no problem. You also mentioned there somebody who would be very familiar to us here in Spain, and that is Kate O'Brien, because the connection and the association between Spain and Ireland through Kate O'Brien is well documented, and it's much appreciated and much celebrated here in Spain.
Yeah, there's a street named after her, I think, in the town of, is it Avila?
Avila.
I believe recently.
Avila.
Avila. Mm. There's a street, I think, named after her there, but she was born before the turn of the 20th century in Limerick, and she would have been born into a middle-class Catholic family, and she was quite independent from a young age due to kind of family circumstances. Mm. Her mother died when she was 5, and she was sent away to boarding school. So then she got to college. Her county council paid for her to study French and English, and she became a journalist, but she also went to Spain in the 1920s to work as a governess in Bilbao. And that inspired her later writings, and she had a deep relationship to Spanish history and contemporary Spanish politics as well. And she was inspired to write a book, Mary Lavelle, about a governess in Spain that Franco actually banned. Mm. And she stayed in touch actually with the kids she was a governess from, and there's letters in UL from one of the children and talking about reading her book that he eventually got his hands in it, and how he could see his childhood in it and wow. The description of the rooms. And she also wrote a travelogue in the 1930s about Spain to kind of raise the awareness of the leftist cause. She didn't get to go back to Spain till the late 1950s. I think the Irish ambassador had to negotiate to let her go visit it again. Mm. And she also wrote a historical novel called That Lady about a Spanish princess that was made into a movie years later. But so she had a great, and she also wrote a biography, I think, of Teresa of Avila. I'm so probably pronouncing it wrong.
No,
Avila
is correct, yeah.
Avila, yeah. So she was really engaged with Spanish history and loved it from afar, always wrote about it, had a great love of it. Mm. She's kind of inspiring in a way in that regard, yeah.
There's a man that works, collaborates with me on the programme. He has the massive title of the Irish-Spanish Cultural Advisor to this programme, a man by the name of Antonio Sierra. Antonio comes from Avila, and it was through his auspices that street became known as the...
cool.
Yeah, exactly. So let's give Antonio Sierra his credit. There's also a scholarship available in the University of Malaga in the English language department that is funded by Antonio, and it's in Kate O'Brien's name as well. So, as I said, we're up to our tonsils here with Kate O'Brien. We know all about her. It's great.
And there's a prize in Ireland for Kate O'Brien as well for debut novels by Irish authors,
right.
Women authors. I think the most recent winner is Una Mannion. It's on over the weekend. And that's a pretty prestigious prize as well, mm-hmm. that UL and a lot of people down there do a lot of work.
That's right. That's right. How important, Jean, is it to single out the women that have made a difference, not just to the country, but to the world, and brought their Irishness with them?
I think it's very important because, we're presented this kind of thing of history, people say, women didn't enter the workforce till the 1960s, 70s, but women have always been working. And the thing is, women have always been traveling as well. We see this story of exploration around the world being led by men, but women were traveling in the 15th, 14th, 16th centuries. And one thing I'm really interested in from a personal point of view is the female religious in Ireland, they traveled the world. And they were part of an order of the nuns that weren't enclosed. They were kind of inspired by the Jesuits a lot.
Okay.
And they were out in the community. And these women were traveling the world. We have Irish, in the 19th century especially, we have Irish women at every battle in history nearly. They're in the American Civil War, they're in the Crimea, they're down in the antipodes setting up towns, schools. Regardless of how you feel about religion, they did a huge amount of work. Some of it good, some of it bad, but mm-hmm. the legacy is we have Irish women of joining convents in their teens, in their 20s, and then by their 30s they're traveling the world, they're seeing different cities. Mm. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, huge amount of Irishmen. I think they were actually banned from going into the prisons because they were converting so many prisoners.
Okay, right. Enough is enough.
A huge amount of work. And they went to Spain, I think, in the 15th, 16th century, the Dominican order did. And they were protected from the Inquisition in some ways. And a lot of women were learning behind closed doors. And the Pope was actually getting quite scared of them because he saw them as building cities of women, because a lot of widows would go in and leave their money to the convents. And the convents were involved in setting up hospitals. And there's lots of wealthy Irish women with the kind of Catholic migrants from Ireland in those centuries from English forces. They travel the world, like the fight of the earls and all that sort of stuff. And you've lots of wealthy Irish Catholic women coming to Spain and contributing to good causes. Like, I came across some of their names. There's an author, a researcher called Andrea Knox, who does quite a lot of work in them. And there was an Irish woman, Donna Catalina Warrens, who sponsored the women's hospital in Cadiz. And she was joined by Donna Alfonso O'Brien and Eugenia Maria Melleroy. And they set up hospitals with distinct wards. Like, people with infections were separated. The children had toys bought for them. They're very modern. We kind of think, this is my thing about, the more you learn about history, people don't realize how modern the world was in these times. And people were traveling. Can you see it with Daniel O'Connell and stuff? People were traveling across the world to Rome regularly. We weren't as closed off as we think we were. The world was open.
No, but I suppose it took longer to get from A to B than it does now.
Yeah, it did.
But travel was still ongoing, as you say.
Yeah. And women were traveling. They were seeing the world and they were becoming key parts of these new societies and these new cultures and, new to them. Which I think is important to remember.
As a nation, when you take per head of capita, have we done our bit in terms of the amount of women that would have gone out and done things, made a mark in the world? As I said, per head of capita, have we done our bit?
I think so. There are some criticisms to be made that Kate O'Brien actually made in her books about Ireland got, 20 Free State happened, and women were kind of promised to be involved in that, and then it didn't turn out the worst. There was kind of setbacks in that, and Kate O'Brien does criticise them in her books. But I think immigration wise and migrant wise, I think there's been huge, even if you look at descendants of Irish women and politicians in the States and stuff, they've done a huge amount of work. Look at Joe Biden's mom. they're very influential, and there's so many different stories to uncover as well. And I think the Irish embassies do a great amount of work now with all their events that you can watch online. It's great. And more people are putting stuff up online, especially the genealogy websites are fantastic to get information on now. Everyone likes finding out about where they come from. And they you see all these shows on TV, people like knowing interesting stories. And you see a lot more focus on the smaller stories as well, not just the big names, the people who lived quiet lives abroad as well, which I think is quite nice to read about.
Is it a pity that we have to have an International Women's Day to celebrate what women have done and are doing in the world? Or what I mean by that is, should every day be an International Women's Day? Because there's no one day where we celebrate what men have done, because we've just done it. But women have to make an extra special effort to be recognised, don't they? Don't you?
Yeah, and I think you've seen a lot of corrections in that as well. Museum bodies are becoming very diverse. They're very conscious of diversity going forward in art and culture. I think for International Women's Day, if you have St. Bridget's Day this year, was quite focused on Irish women's achievements. That was kind of interesting. And one thing about International Women's Day, it was founded by the labour movement. So it's become kind of diluted over the years. And it's the same with they have an International Men's Day, I think, in November, and that's really focused on mental health to do with suicide rates, I think, among men. So I think International Women's Day is trying to fit a lot into one day. I think it should probably be focused a bit more. It's in the corporate world, it's very corporate as well, with women in work. But it's a nice day. You learn that the newspapers and the media do great features on it. You always learn something new. So I don't know. I'm for it, but I do think it's trying to cover a lot of ground for half the human race.
<you know? laughs> I'm sure, give him a chance. I know when one talks about a museum, we're talking about the past, we're talking about history, but history is made on a daily basis. Are there any modern day women that are featured on the website?
We have the Christina Noble is on the website.
Okay, right.
And Pat Crowley as well. Passed away, I think, hold on a second, I'll just double check that. But we have a few modern women. Okay. I'd love to see Catherine Corliss added to it, who did all that amazing amateur historian work and to uncover tragedy in Toon. So there are definitely modern women making history. Mm. And I'd love to add to it in the next while.
Okay.
One kind of cool thing that might be of interest to listeners is the dress designer, Sybil Connolly. Her dresses are in the Hunt Museum in Limerick.
Yes.
And she, dressed Jackie Onassis. She was just huge in New York and at home, and she used Irish material. But they're campaigning to fundraise to rehabilitate, I think is the word, some of her clothes. And it's on fund at a website, but the Hunt Museum are looking, I think, for 12.5 grand to make sure the clothes survive in a couple of decades. And they're just beautiful. They're pieces of art, really. And they have some great prizes for people who sponsor, like postcards and appointments to visit.
Mm.
So that's worth it.
Have you personally a particular heroine? Is there a particular Irish woman that you think stands above the rest?
I'm a huge fan of Maeve Brennan, the writer, because I've read her work. So she wrote for The New Yorker and she worked for Harper's Bazaar. And she had a tragic end with alcoholism and all that. But she wrote The Long-Winded Lady. And it's a fabulous book of her observations of New York City. Mm-hmm. And if you're a fan of stuff like Mad Men, those kind of shows, she's capturing New York before New York changes. And she's sitting in diners. She's looking out in the street. And she's describing buildings that have been leveled and trees and stuff, and I just love reading her stuff. I did it for my book club a couple of years ago.
Right.
And in terms of personal heroines, Catherine Corliss would be someone I think is great.
Mm.
And someone like Vicky Fielding as well, the work she's done has been wonderful.
Of course, yeah.
So maybe mine. But I'm also a huge fan of, as I mentioned, the female religious. I'm a huge fan of the Catherine McCauley of the Sisters of Mercy,
okay.
How she set up her order, because the one thing about the nuns is they were kind of, a lot of them were forced into becoming religious orders. They were really socialists on the streets, using their money to communicate with the poor and do stuff. And then the church got involved and told these women, you had to become a religious order. So they were all Catholics, but they were kind of, not forced, but strongly advised to become religious orders. But really they were just well-off women using their money to be... to help people. So she's a heroine of mine, and she passed away, I think, the 1840s, 1830s. And then the Sisters of Mercy just went all over the world. And I have a huge interest in their history in New Zealand and Australia. I read a lot of books on it, and they went to the Crimea as well. I think they'd fallen out with Florence Nightingale. I kind of see the religious orders in the 19th century. It's like reading a corporate history, setting up franchises around the world. And it's just fascinating what they did. When they were women who just wanted to dress the poor, feed the poor, and then suddenly they end up running these empires around the world nearly. And, they're present at the Civil War in America helping people. They're present at the Crimea helping people. It's just, I find it very interesting. I think it's almost an unsung part of Irish history.
It's fascinating,
these people travel across the world, and especially the Wild West even. I know there's issues there around imperialism and taking land, but these women from the middle of nowhere, in our rural Ireland end up going to Colorado and all these places, and they don't know the landscape, they don't know the seasons, they don't know the culture, and they're just landed there and told to make it work. And there's some fascinating stories of survival and persistence that I think is worth reading about. I'd recommend a few books from the Sisters of Mercy about various religious orders.
All right. Go back to the website. How many of you are involved in it? You said that it's volunteer-led, so how many of you are stuck into it?
There's four of us checking in every couple of months with each other.
Right.
And hopefully in the next while we'll have stuff done on the map and a few more entries added. So Yeah, there's four of us, my friend Kate, my friend Holly, my friend Zoe, and we all get on. We haven't argued over anything yet. two of us were friendly in college, and then one of us we met after,
right.
And another is a friend of mine from years, and she runs a few walking tours of Dublin, the Irish Label Archive, so she's big into fashion history.
Okay.
And Zoe Bowman, so if you're ever in Dublin, look her up. They're great. She takes you to old drapers, kind of a disappearing Dublin.
Oh, lovely.
She's very, very cool. Yeah.
That would be nice. All right. But listen, I wish you the best. As you said to me at the start, it's volunteer led. So it's a work in progress, and it's something that's going to be added to. Remind us of the actual address so that people can take a look at it, please.
Yeah. Women's Museum of Ireland.ie.
Women's Museum of Ireland.ie. There you go. Have you been to Spain?
I've been to Madrid twice.
Lovely.
I went over when I was younger, and everyone called me whatever the Spanish is for ghost, because I was very pale.
Really?
I remember that as a 13-year-old. And then I was over in Madrid in 2018, I think. I went over by myself for a few days to see all the art museums, and I had a wonderful time. And I'm mad to go back. And my partner, as I've mentioned, has been to Barcelona a few times.
Right.
My sister's a huge fan of Spain, AJ. She's very jealous of your setup. That's what she wants. She wants to move to Spain. And she has friends in Basque Country, so she's been over to the Basque Country a lot. She's currently with a family there. So
lovely.
She loves it over there.
Mm, why wouldn't she? Fantasma is Spanish word for ghost.
That's what I was called, yeah.
Fantasma, there you go.
I was over in a language exchange type thing, so...
Brilliant.
It was lovely.
All right. Well, listen, I leave it with you. Jean, I wish you and all of your female friends and colleagues and family a very happy International Women's Day Tuesday, the 8th of March. And thanks a million for talking to us about the Women's Museum of Ireland. And I wish you continued success with it, Jean.
Thank you so much, Joe. Have a lovely day.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.